Systems initiated. You're listening to the Empire Podcast Network.
My guest this week is an Emmy Award-winning television producer. Now, if you've ever watched daytime TV, chances are you've seen one of his shows. He's produced long-running hits like The Geraldo Rivera Show, The Dr. Oz Show, The View, and is currently a producer on the one and only Wendy Williams Show. This week, you're going to get to know my friend, Gregory Pacioli. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town.
You know, it's a real honor, Jacob. I'm like totally psyched to do this with you.
Well, I'm glad we could make it work. I know you're so busy, man. I mean, you've been busy for decades.
Yeah, it's been a long run, and you know, knock wood, it's still going on.
Now, this must be a little bit interesting for a producer. It's sort of a bit of a switch because today you're on the other side of the microphone as a guest.
That's the weird part, because I'm usually interviewing you.
Exactly. What did he just say? So let's begin, man. How did you get your start in show business?
How I got my start is, you know, I went to college. Growing up, I was infatuated with talk shows. Like, I was a little kid who came home and watched Mike Douglas. I'd watch Merv Griffin at night with my mother. You know, I was always into talk shows, celebrities, that kind of stuff. Cut to, you know, I was in college. I was an accountant major. I figured, you know, that's a good, safe, you know, path for me to go. And on a whim, I sent in for tickets to go see the Geraldo Rivera Show. So I got a couple of my friends. We got tickets. We went. And I'm sitting in the audience. And I'm like, this is cool. This is a job. I'd love to do this. So I went to school, went back to college, talked to an advisor, switched my major. And I was like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Wrote Geraldo a letter. Back then, there was no emails. Wrote him a letter. I was at your show and I changed my major. And they hired me as an intern. And that was history. From intern, I went to work in there and it's taken off.
So that's a true success story right there. That's somebody who saw a dream, saw their vision, and decided to take action.
Yep.
And put your dreams into a reality.
Yep. Started in the mailroom. Back then, people mailed letters. You know, that's how, you know, you communicated. Was in the mailroom for about 6 months. Then they promoted me to, I was receptionist for a bit. Then I was a production assistant, then as associate producer, and then I became a producer there.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. It's funny you say that there is no mail room and there is no email room because everybody has their email account, right? That's a job that's sort of, you know, yes, there is mail that still comes through, right? But I mean, like, you just don't have that same cliche starting in the mail room. It's great, man. It's great that you made that jump and where you are today. What are some of the qualities that would help someone become a successful TV producer?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been daytime, so I've been the talk show route. You know, it's basically keeping up on the pop culture, keeping up on the news, keeping up on with what celebrities are doing. You know, I was always eager to learn or always, you know, interested in, you know, like, you know, what's Madonna doing today? You know, it's just having that drive and that, you know, strive for information. And, you know, putting it out there for, you know, people to listen to.
Yeah. This is kind of in the same vein, but there's not many network talk shows that are out there. So that means there's not a ton of opportunities to get your level of success that you've been able to achieve. Is there any particular advice to give to some kids that out there might be dreaming of that career that's in television?
It's a very tough business. You know, back when I started, there weren't a lot of people doing it. When I was the intern at Geraldo, I was the intern. There were no other interns. Now, you know, at you know, Wendy, where I work, I worked at Oz and The View, you have like 30, 40 interns, you know. So what you have to do is make yourself known, you know, go the extra step. Don't, you know, do what you're told. Do what you're told plus more. That's how you get noticed in this business.
Right. Is there any stories that stuck out for you that made you that example when you were younger that you go, I think I might have gotten the job, Mom, or telling somebody in your family?
There was when I was at Geraldo. I mean, this is going back. And, you know, when I was there, the big news broke was the Amy Fisher scandal. Oh, yeah. Amy, Mary Jo, and Joe Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
I grew up on Long Island. I live on Long Island. They lived a couple of towns past me. I think it was Massapequa where this all happened. So I went into Geraldo. I was a PA back then, doing what I was told. And I went in and I said, Geraldo, I don't live far from them. Do you want me to go over there and, see if I can get an interview with somebody? And I went. He said, yeah, sure. I went. I met with Joe Buttafuoco. This is when all the tabloids were like going after these people. He agreed to meet with me, which was, wow. back then, that was a big thing.
You were like, Geraldo, I may have found a piece of evidence.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. So, I spoke to him. I got him on the phone with Geraldo. He didn't come on the show, but I went that extra mile, that extra step, put myself out there and got noticed. And I got promoted shortly after that.
Well, that's amazing, man. And I'm thankful every day because I got to hang out with you. And I have to say, dude, first of all, for people that don't know you that are just listening, you're one of the good ones. There's so many people that are in this line of work and, we all get caught up in our day to day and it's a difficult stressor just dealing with our stuff, but you always took the time to say hello. And it wasn't just to me, but to everybody I saw you interacting with, you're just, you have that ability to lead.
That's really nice of you to say. I mean, working at The View with you, if people don't know, when I was at The View, you were on All My Children, which was the next studio over. So we would always bump into each other in the hallways, stairwells, out on the loading dock. I think that's how I got to know you, was you were hanging out on the loading dock between the scenes and I was out there, hanging out. And we all would hang out and talk. You, Cameron, Thorsten, Erica.
Susan always came. She always came through the loading dock too, man. She always came through the back, backstage there. That's where I met Tony Curtis, man. He came in. He was in his wheelchair back, in those days, and he was. But man, I seen so many wonderful faces coming over to the View. So there was lots of reasons to be hanging out on the loading dock. I mean, if you were a young actor, trying to take the nectar of life, or a young producer, or anybody. It just to catch a glimpse of some of your heroes was pretty amazing.
Those were the days. I mean, it was just like an amazing experience working there. I can't put into words how much I learned there. And going back to Susan Lucci, when I was at The View, I did a lot of the comedy segments with Joy and, Whoopi. If I needed Susan to come over and do a little bit for us, she was there. She always was there. She always, made it happen.
Oh, she's, I got to tell you, she, and you're basically saying what I'm going to say, but she's, people go, wow, the great Susan Lucci, she's been in daytime television for so many years, but she was really like the mom next door. She was willing to always lend a hand, offer advice, and was there in a second. She's really a fantastic just really down to earth person. And most people probably wouldn't expect that from somebody who's had as many TV nominations as she's had, the cover of People magazine. She just absolutely, embodied that. And I always tell people too, about All My Children. I've been on several of these soap operas over the years. And the one thing that could very well be sort of looked at it is that these people, they're untouchable, right? And she would lead in such a way that the pack would follow, right? She would lead with earnest, integrity, confidence, not arrogance. I've been on shows where they have leaders that are like that, unfortunately, and the production is worshiping the ground that they're walking on. And that becomes a very convoluted and really difficult place to work at many, many times. But it was never like that on All My Children because of Susan Lucci.
You know, pegging off what you just said, all of you guys were great. All of you guys were so nice on that show, approachable. I have great memories of hanging out with all you actors in between your shots and, you know, just having some great conversations.
Yeah, it was, I'm telling you, if there's a time I miss the most, it's being in New York and hanging out with what was then. I wish that I could take that and put in a bottle and whatever I need to take a sip of it and be like, wow, here we are back again. Let me ask you, are there any life lessons that you yourself have learned from some of the guests that have been on, say, Dr. Oz or the Wendy Williams Show?
Yeah. Life lessons. That's a good one. I mean, you always look at celebrities and, you know, they always take chances with their career. You know, you've taken many chances in your career, taken on roles that you weren't prepared for, but.
Wait a minute. What did you
say? No, that you wouldn't normally be seen doing. I mean, now you're on Walking Dead. I would never think Jacob Young would be on Walking Dead. You know, I learned a lot about taking chances, taking risks and, you know, making things happen for yourself.
How important is that, though? Taking those chances in life.
It's really important. I mean, I've taken a bunch of chances in my career. You know, going from The View to Dr. Oz was a big, you know, risk for me. You know, I'm not a medical
person. That was
Dr.
Oz was already established before The View or what, vice versa?
Oh, No. Dr. Oz was established.
Yeah.
And it was established.
So going on to a new show.
Yes.
The territory is unknown.
Which is, you know, dealt with, you know, medical issues. You know, I'm not a doctor. You know, but that was a risk I took and, you know, it paid off. You know, I had a great time there. Got my Emmy. I got an Emmy there.
Oh, you did get an Emmy there. Yes.
Yeah. I got an Emmy there. And, you know, it prepared me for, you know, other risks, you know, taken in my career. You know, now I'm at Wendy, which is, you know, fantastic. It's a great family. It's a great time, you know, and learning a lot there as well. You know, I'm still learning, you know, even though I've been doing this for like, you know, 25 plus years. You still learn every day. You know, you got to keep your mind open to, you know, take in more information, you know, new information.
That reminds me, since you were on Dr. Oz, I have this rash.
Don't come to me. Go get some CVS Bacitracin or something.
Yes. Well, you know, they are strange times that we're living in these days. Have you learned anything new about yourself since the pandemic?
What I've learned about myself is, you know, it sounds corny, but, you know, I like myself. I like, you know, what I do. You know, I like how I perceive myself to other people. You know, in this business, you know, there are people that could be a little cutthroat, as I'm sure you might've experienced in your career. But I've always been, you know, the nice guy, the good guy. I have, you know, a lot of friends in this business and, you know, we kind of look after each other. You know, so that would be kind of like a lesson, something I learned about myself. And it really came through more during the pandemic, you know, when we were, you know, I worked from home for basically a year and a half. You know, that's, you know, unheard of, you know, you go crazy sitting at home, but you know, you have to make TV magic happen through your computer. But you know, it all worked out, you know, thank God. And, you know, moving on, you know, now we're back in the studio when it's, you know, making it happen.
Yeah. And how does it feel to be back and be back in person?
Amazing. You know, as I said, you know, the other thing I've been lucky with is, you know, the shows I've worked on, these people become your family. You're with them all the time and you could be with people that you don't like. I'm lucky to be with people I like. I like everybody I work with. It's great to see everybody every day. It's great to see, you know, your host, you know, who you haven't been in touch with for a year and a half. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to be back. I hope we're on a path to, you know, getting back to normal. We're almost there, but
yeah,
you know,
it definitely feels like we're almost to that road of complete recovery. But then, you know, now we have this whole nother like blurry world of vaxxers and anti-vaxxers and people talking BS about other people that are being vaccinated and not being vaccinated and people punching each other in the faces at restaurants. I really saw this coming when it first happened, when the pandemic first was breaking out, and realizing there wasn't going to be any kind of cure that's going to be happening right away. And there was going to be a lot of people that are going to unfortunately pass away. And when the vaccination came available, I was like, well, whether I believe in the vaccination or not, if I want to work, I'm going to have to finally just bear it down and not be a dick about it and just get the vaccination. And so many actor friends of mine that I do know, they're sort of like some of them are like, hey, I ain't going to do this. I'm not going to do it. And whether that means my career or not, then I'm just not going to. But I felt very comfortable with it. I was like, you know what? I get my flu shot. I do my thing. And I'm happy to oblige by the union or whatever independent film set or whatever I'm working on to make sure that I had that card and make sure that everybody feels safe around me. It's just, it is crazy time. I don't want to ask you about your stance on any of that because it's really irrelevant, but I think if we want to work and we want to continue to move forward, we definitely have to all kind of pick up that, you know, that slack for others.
I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, I just don't grasp how people could be so against something that could save your life. It's just mind boggling. These people, you know, I don't want to get into the vaccine, but I mean, I just don't grasp it. Get the vaccine. It's going to save your life. You're not going to be on a ventilator. You're not going to almost die. It was scary times, you know, when this first happened. You know, I had my mother, who's in her 80s, you know, all I did was worry about her. I have friends that have, you know, existing, you know, conditions that I was worried about. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I just don't know why people are so against it.
Well, and then seeing all these people also that are, maybe they're frontline and now they're being fired because they're not getting their vaccinations, all over different job sites, different government jobs, of course. It's pretty impactful. Even to that very moment, they're like, well, I'm just not going to do it. And I'm going to go ahead and get fired. So their stance is strong. So it's a really kind of a blurred moment in our American history. And this will go down in the books. And I hope that everybody sort of just goes, look, we gotta, you know, stop believing in these crazy theories that we are being microchipped.
I just don't grasp it. I mean, I really don't.
I've had a couple of guests that went into the whole thing and I'm like, oh, okay, so what's next? And they have their whole theories. I'm like, well, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you know what? Get your vaccination. It doesn't hurt. I was down for a day and I feel like a champ. I don't feel any worse for the wear. And if they microchip me, they already knew everything about me to begin with. They have a social security number. They have your fingerprints. They've got everything in the world, that's on you. So
if you're on Facebook, they know everything about you.
They already know everything.
So stupid.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like a microchip's going to change anything. Hopefully it'll just make paying things easier. Like, beep.
Here's exactly.
Just go ahead and put your wrist and wave it in front of things. So everybody in Real Conversations that comes on as my guest all is so, so lucky to take a trip back in the Jacob Young time machine. And if you were to go back in time, what advice would you give your 12-year-old self, Greg?
Oof, my 12-year-old self. What advice would I give my 12-year-old self? You know, I wish in school, I'm 12 years old now, that I was more athletic. I always wanted to be more athletic. I mean, I always tried and I was always, you know, that kid out there that at least he's trying. But I wish I would be more athletic. I think, being part of a team and all that stuff is kind of, you know, helps you, you know, in your career, in your whatever. I had that, but I just wish I excelled a little bit more. I don't know if that's the right answer, but you know, that's the first thing that came to my head.
Well, that's, you know, there's no wrong or right answer.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, hey, I understand that. Look, I mean, maybe to getting out there and doing something that you weren't doing, getting outside the box that you were in. And maybe some of you, did you think you yearned for that when you were younger? Did you want to be on the sports teams?
I wanted to be better. You know, I tried out for everything and I would make it, but I wouldn't play much. But I would try, you know, and I think that kind of, you know, molded me as a young adult, you know, in my career, to always try and to always, you know, go after what I thought I couldn't get.
I think sports, first of all, are very, very important just for that competitive nature, athletic nature. It helps take kids away from their Xboxes and their iPhones and their, all the applications and social media of the world. Our sponsor, my sponsor, Boys Town, which was established by Father Flanagan back at the turn of the century. And one of his things that he always said was he wanted every boy to compete in some sort of sport to give them that sort of daily dose of not only exercise, but competitiveness. And I think that also has a lot to say about you too, because going into such a competitive producing world, you have to have some sort of competitive nature to begin with. Or just going in the entertainment world, knowing that it's such a competitive place.
Yes, exactly, Jacob. It is really competitive. And, you know, going back to what I said, you always had to, me as a producer, you know, coming up in the business, I always had to try to make myself noticed. And that's what I always strive for, to make myself noticed. You know, when, you know, you're doing a segment with a celebrity, let's say, you know, thinking of, you know, what don't people know about, you know, Jacob Young? You know, is there a game I could play with him? Is there something that I can get a secret out of him that nobody knows about? You know, I think that all kind of like, you know, work together, you know, in, you know, producing segments and stuff.
Yeah. There's one thing I want to say thank you for, which I maybe have said before, but there was the time when I'd only met Darius Rucker only one other time, and he was a guest on The View, and you know, I happened to know that he was going to be on The View that day, and he just had his first country album come out.
Right,
you know, he'd already been Hootie and the Blowfish, had 25 million, you know, sold records that are across the world, and I was like, hey, Greg, I want to go say hi, and you're like, come on back. I was like. And then, you know, Darius invited me to the concert that night, and I hung out with the guys.
Oh, really?
I hung out with the guys on the bus that night afterwards. So it was,
that's pretty cool.
And I got to know actually one of the guys who eventually became a producer on some of my music that I've worked on, who is the drummer in Darius's band. So, you know, you see what you created, you know, you put all that together. You're like, where's my percentage? But
that's
I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you for telling me that story, because that's pretty amazing. I had no idea about the aftermath.
Oh, the aftermath. It continues to grow. It still happens to this day. So
that's amazing.
It is.
I like that.
It is amazing. It's amazing. You know, and that's another thing I want to always offer to the young people that are out there. Make sure you connect those dots. If you can figure out how to put people together, there's no harm, no foul. What's the worst they could say? I can't do that, or no.
Yep.
And then you move on. Every guest on the show also answers one more question. And Father Flanagan, back in the day, there was one handicapped boy that would be carried around by all the bigger boys because he couldn't run as fast. And Father asked him, he goes, isn't he heavy? He goes, well, he ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother. Ugh. And basically, you know, thus the song too, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. But that's become their slogan, and they have it bronzed in a statue. It's just a gorgeous statue of this young boy holding another boy on his back, on a piggyback. And it's like, it brought tears to my eyes when I was in Omaha, Nebraska just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But the question is, and it's different for everybody, of course, but in our lives, and I know in my life, I've had people that have carried me. Has anybody ever carried you in any time of need?
Wow. There have been many people that have carried me during, you know, times of need. You know, the one I would say is, you know, I'm blessed with a great family. I have a very supportive wife. who, you know, if I'm like, you know, I got to do this, she's like, go do it. You know, she's been really supportive in my career, helping me out, you know, plus I've had friends, lifelong friends that, you know, I still go on vacations with, who, like, you know, if I'm having a hard day or whatever, I give them a call and, you know, they're there to, you know, pick me up, or, you know, not in the business, they're just regular friends that I've had for like, you know, 40 years. You know, I think it's really important to surround yourself with those kind of people. But yeah, I would say my wife and my son. My son's been, you know, my best friend. You know, it's great to, I know you have three little best friends. You know, I have one best friend. Oh, I'm sorry about that. You know, he also will pick me up and, you know, help me through some hard times. When I'm having a bad day at work, I come home and he's like, you know, what's up? What's up? You know, and we sit down and talk and he's like, you know what you should do, Dad? You know, those, that, that advice, that those conversations really, you know, help me out.
Yeah, they do. It's amazing. Kids.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a few years to get into the groove, you know, because I've been an uncle, but being the dad, and now they're all getting older. And now it's like, you know, my kids are like, you know what we should do, Dad? A TikTok dance right now.
You've done TikTok dances, haven't you?
We were doing TikTok before there was TikTok. We've always danced around this house. But, you know, I don't know. I haven't quite figured that all out yet. I don't know if I'm even going to jump into the TikTok scene, but I love dancing with one of my daughters. She just loves it. Yep. She loves doing that sort of thing. But Greg, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to sit in the guest chairs today and share a little bit about yourself. I know it's going to motivate so many young people that are out there, and wishing you continued success, of course, and many more years on television. The Wendy Williams Show is one of the most entertaining shows and hours anyone could spend during their day. So thank you for all the information, the laughter, and that your show has brought millions and millions of fans.
Well, Jacob, thank you for having me. Thank you for being a good friend. I mean, we've, you know, haven't seen each other, but we give those little texts once in a while, you know, hello, how you doing? But, you know, continued success to you. I mean, you're just like taking off and soaring and doing so many great things.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. You know, it goes to show you don't have to communicate with somebody every day to know that you still have that friendship that's out there.
Exactly. And it's a good one.
It sure is, man.
Tired of the same old boring popcorn? Want to try something that's delicious and different? If you're like me, sometimes I like a little sweet and salty. Well, Snack Pops did it again with Candy Pop with M&Ms and Cookie Pop with Oreos. Make Candy Pop and Cookie Pop your family's go-to movie snack or enjoy on the go. One bite is never enough. Now available at Publix grocery stores, or simply go to snackpop.com and discover the entire line of these tasty popcorn treats. Lane Frostbrand is a proud sponsor of Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the comfortable, stylish, and unique clothing line that commemorates the life of world champion bull rider Lane Frost. Everything from hats to belt buckles. Be sure to check out the whole line of products for the entire family at lanefrost.com, the official shop of the legend, for the champion in you.
I would now like to bring on the manager of the Boys Town National Hotline and our resident professional, of course, my dear friend, Chris Hallstrom. Chris, so great to see you and talk to you today.
Yeah, awesome to see you too. I feel like I need to maybe apologize in advance because where I'm sitting right now, the farmers are harvesting practically in my backyard. So if you hear a low hum, it might be that there's a combine driving by. So.
Well, why don't you tell us, where are they harvesting from?
Well, they're just kind of right in my backyard, and it's soybeans that they're harvesting.
Soybeans?
So, yes.
But of course, near Omaha, right?
Right. Yes. Nebraska, the good life. We're living right out in the middle of God's country and farmland here. So,
well, we can't complain about somebody providing food and soybeans and all the necessity, the nutrients that we all need. So
there you go.
I think we could put up with that. I can't hear it, but
Okay,
if he,
good.
If he gets close, then we'll know what's going on in the background.
There you go.
So my good friend Greg, who is a producer on the Wendy Williams Show and has been a producer on many, many series, Geraldo Rivera, of course, The View. He's done multiple talk shows and a dear friend of mine. And the one thing he did express to me when I reached out to him, he goes, I hope I'm going to be interesting enough. And I said,
he sounded like such a nice guy.
Such a great human being. He was one person that I, you know, you know, when you're in the workplace, like you are on a daily basis, when you're at work, you're interacting with so many people and there's always that person that stands out. And he was always a person that stood out to me and would always go the extra mile to say hello, which is no surprise because of why he's been able to do what he's been able to continue to do his entire career, which is not only produce, but also you have to be a people person in those scenarios.
Right.
And one of those situations that we spoke about was I had met Darius Rucker many years before. And one of those situations was that Darius had just came out with his very first country album. And everybody's like, whoa, Darius Rucker is now country. But I had to go say hello and I had to accomplish him or give him a compliment for that. And I went to Greg and I was like, Greg, would it be okay if I went? He's like, oh yeah, come back to the green room. It's okay. Just come back. And, you know, Darius had no idea, but that's the kind of guy he is. I mean, if it was just some random on the street, obviously that, you know, then that's the job. It goes right out the window. It wasn't right. Like I was working, you know, over at the garage next door, you know, right. Fixing flat tires and coming over and saying hello. Right. I was working at the studio across the hall, but he has always been that kind of person. And if he could allow that to happen, he would.
Well, I just thought that was kind of a neat story just to hear the two of you talking about how you worked on the same soundstage and you'd be out on the dock standing there together. And to me, I don't know, it really was a good example of somebody that he had no idea. You just now told him that by meeting Darius Rucker, you met one of his band members and how that helped you with your music. And, you know, every day we don't know what thing we say or do that's going to end up helping somebody.
Yeah.
For you, like right away, you were able to connect that. And he was so surprised that to him, that didn't seem like a big deal, but it ended up having a big impact.
It did have a huge impact. That night, because it was that night, and I didn't have kids at the time. So, oh no, actually, Luke was born. He was literally and still kind of not quite a toddler. He was an infant still. And we had a babysitter every once in a while, sort of a nanny babysitter that would come by every so often. And that evening, because Darius was like, well, come to the show tonight. We're going to be playing in New Jersey. And we went to that show. And that night I was able to, you know, given backstage passes, got to hang out on the bus, hung out with all the band members. And I met Jeff Marino, who is still his drummer to this day. And, you know, Jeff and I had been friends ever since and helped actually spearhead a lot of those dreams and ambitions in my own personal life. Which, you know, indirectly, this man right. was responsible for that.
Because he was nice enough to let you meet that. Like, I could see somebody in that position being very protective and, you know, just not letting anybody through. But yeah, the fact that he allowed you to do that and the impact that it had, I thought that was cool. The other thing that I thought was neat, too, was to hear you guys talking about Susan Lucci and just the positive, the compliments that you had about her. How she was just such a positive person and kind of the mom of the show. And, you know, does Susan Lucci know that you think that? I don't know. I hope she hears your podcast. And because that's just, you never know the impact that you're having on people around you. Yeah. So just being kind and sometimes you don't have to go out of your way that much to do something nice for somebody. And it really can have a big impact.
Susan Lucci is one person that does go out of her way to have an impact on people. And what we were discussing in that interview is really that leadership of somebody who has that responsibility. They have that responsibility because, well, God graced them with that. That token has been given to them for whatever reason that is. Maybe, you know, we have a lot of great souls that are running around, but we have, you know, she was a great soul that had some a beautiful ability to communicate to people. But there's also that reverse side of the coin where so many times in the industry that I work in, you have that choice. Am I going to be someone who is not nice, or am I going to be somebody who's very compatible and wishes the best for everyone? And that's what makes Susan Lucci a true leader. And the matriarch, but a patriarch too. Like she was the female embodiment and the male embodiment. Everybody on our set respected her.
That whole leadership thing too. And I think it was Randy Spilling that mentioned something in the interview that you did with him about how good leaders pull everybody along together and they lead with empathy and concern for others. And like, that is so true. If you're kind to people and not in it just for yourself or trying to show your power or whatever, I just think people, that resonates with people and people respect you a lot more.
Absolutely. And sometimes Susan would be the kind of woman, like she would hear somebody's great success and go, well, we all have to have a party. And then she would coordinate.
So she celebrated.
She would celebrate the successes of, you know, and if she heard about it and she knew, you know, what it meant, she would want to be the first person to throw the party.
Right. Well, yeah, I was just that, your whole talk about standing out on the dock, just, I loved all that part.
Oh, that dock was a special place. The loading dock. So, you know,
it's all about connections and communication and relationships. And
it is that loading dock that, I mean, that's, you know, the presidents came through there. I mean, I was working there many times when, their Secret Service would come in, lock the place down. You know, at the time it was, I think Bush Jr. and then Obama. But then like I met Tony Curtis on the docks, you know, and I was back there and I was doing bad things. I was probably smoking cigarettes back then because, you know, nobody really cared because we were that, you know, we were young and we were Hollywood and was like, that was the thing to do. But I would not have met.
Greg was still nice to you.
Well, Greg was still nice to me, and I would not have met Tony Curtis if I wasn't back there, you know, hanging out with the crew. That's one thing I have to say. I think we even touched on that in the interview with Greg. My crew is so important, and maybe that's why I moved into producing in my career versus just staying with that one thing, that acting thing. I love acting, but I also love being a part of the leaders of teams that put the whole production together. If I wasn't back there and I wasn't mingling with the crew, I wouldn't have met Tony Curtis before he passed away. I wouldn't have met Tom Cruise. I wouldn't have met all the great people that have come through on a daily basis for the View, which is still running to this day. I miss that studio. I really do. It was a very special place, and Greg made it all that much more special for all of us.
Yep. Like I said, it sounds like there were a lot of connections made back there and he was part of that whole scene. So,
yeah. Very, very special time. And, I just really, I guess, genuinely want to thank Greg for, you know, being the man he is and his continued success. And obviously, you know, it resonates with so many people because, you know, when he was talking about how he got his start and, you know, he fought for that at a very, you know, his very young age, because let's think about this for one second too. It, you know, for anybody to succeed in that industry or producing, you really have to fight for that. That is a, that is a tough.
Well, and I like the comment that he made about, like you have to go the extra step, do it. You're told, and then a little bit extra. It's probably really good.
Good advice to take.
Good advice for anybody. Yeah. For sure. Don't just do what you're told, but if there's more to do, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Go the extra distance. Go the extra mile. You never know who you're going to be meeting. You never know who you're talking to. Cody Jinks, who we had on the show, he has a lyric in his line. You never know who you're talking to, right? You never know who you're talking to. Keep your feet moving straight down the line. And it's just like, you give everybody respect when you have that opportunity. And quite honestly, I knew Greg was a producer, but I didn't know his influence. He was just a cool guy.
Right.
Because he made himself approachable. And I think that's a big takeaway too, is in life, we should always give ourselves to everybody if we have the opportunity to, if it's not taking too much of your time to do so.
Right. Because you never know how you're going to help that person down the line, like he did for you. So.
And he certainly did. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
You're welcome, Jacob.
Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the mental health podcast, is sponsored by Boys Town. And at Boys Town, their slogan is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And for over 100 years, Boys Town has been saving children and healing families. They're only one call away, and they're always there to help. So please, please go to boystown.org for all the details on how to access Boys Town's health services, or just simply go to yourlifeyourvoice.org. If you're in crisis or need immediate help, please call the trained counselors at the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 or text VOICE to 20121. Thanks for joining me on Real Conversations. I'm Jacob Young. Till next time, love yourself, love each other.